of the book of Romans, where it tells you that the Gentiles would praise him. The Gentiles would worship him in the Romans 15 verse 9. Look at verse 9. Says that well, you know, there's a promise that God had made to the fathers, okay, here. And so Paul, let me read verse 4. Look at verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetimes were written for our learning. So you go in the Bible and these that are written, it is your learning. You just don't push it away and say, I don't want it. You have to sit down and read and study the Word of God. It was written for our learning. But notice how you receive it. That we, through patience, can't be in a haste, you can't be hurrying. You can't want it all in one night, but that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. If you ever have a need in your life and you're in sorrow, and you turn to the Scriptures, the Word of God will comfort you. Comfort ye, my people, said the Lord. There's a comfort, there's a grief. Times of sorrow, the Scripture will comfort you, okay, and give you hope. Now, verse 5. Now, when? Now, the God of patience. Who is he? He's a God of patience and consolation. Grant you to be like-minded one towards another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind. That's in the unity of the faith. One mind, love. With one mind and one mouth. You don't find that. Because everybody's got a different type of praise or so. But to bring a church into unity, where it's all about Jesus. It's not about self. It's not about you or me. But it's one mind. One mind and one mouth. See, we might glorify God. Wouldn't that be wonderful? To be in that kind of a church, the one mind. They're not coming in there and one is thinking about just natural things. Somebody's thinking about something. But when you get in there, you gird up the loins of your mind. And you have your faith is towards God. But to have one mind. See, one mind in the Scriptures. One mind in the unity of the faith. You're united. One mind, and to bring a church into that order, that is very, very important. So that ye with one mind and one mouth will glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The God and Father, that's the Scripture right here. The God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then Jesus prayed, Our Father, who art in heaven. You see, his Father is my Father also. Amen. When you pray, say, Our Father. Yes. Have you ever done that? Yes. Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And this is instruction to the Gentiles. Paul was an apostle sent to the Gentiles. And now he's instructing the Roman Gentiles. Wherefore, said, receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision. That's the Jews. When he came, he said, I come to the house of Israel, the house of Judah, the house of or the nation of Israel. And the Syrophoenician woman wanted a healing for her daughter. And he said, it's not me to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. But you see, the lady didn't get offended. She wasn't touchy. When you really need something, you don't care, you get it, right? You need a healing. You'll fall on your face before God and you'll beg him. But all you want is a healing. You want a deliverance. You want a miracle in your life. And the Syrophoenician woman said, true, Lord. But the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. And Jesus said, I've not seen such great faith, no, not in Israel. And he said, now I say, verse 8, that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. All these promises that God made to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, coming on through David, that he made to the prophets. See, and that the Gentiles, notice the circumcision, but now it's that the Gentiles, Jesus was a minister to the circumcision. But remember, it didn't stop there. Because he said, other sheep I have, which is not of this fold, them also I must bring. So God had a Gentile fold, he had a Jewish fold first, but then he had a Gentile fold, that sheep that was let down from heaven with all of those four-footed creeping beasts and all things, and told Simon Peter, rise up and kill and eat. He said, not so, Lord, I've never eaten anything that was common or unclean. But the Lord said, what I have cleansed, call not thou common or unclean. Then we are cleansed. We were sometimes Gentiles, darkness and blind, but tonight we are cleansed. We've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, by the word of God. Tonight we are not the same. But the darkness that was in our mind is being driven away by the word of God. The entrance of thy word giveth light. And the light of the knowledge of the glory of God that's revealed in the face of Jesus Christ is in our minds.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so tonight we are not darkness, but we are light.
Yes.
God has delivered us from the darkness. And now the true light is shining in our hearts. So verse 9, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercies. This is our duty. So as Brother Jesse said, he felt that praise.
Amen.
And the worship.
Amen.
So that's what we're supposed to do.
Yes.
Praise him, all ye people.
Yes.
Sing unto God a new song. Lift up your voice and praise him. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people, and shout with the voice of triumph. Know ye not that the Lord is God? It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord.
Amen.
Do you know that? The Holy Spirit. As we were talking this morning, and when the Gentile heard it, they glorified God. They were glad and they praised God. So there's always something to praise God about. So verse 9, I like it, and said that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. What's his mercy? Because he took us out of darkness. He changed you. He saved you. He delivered you. And we were sometimes children of wrath, even as others. But tonight we are sons of God. As many as receive him, to them he gave the power to become what you were not, to become the sons of God, even to as many as believe on his name. So we are not going to be, but we are right now. Amen. Why do we know this? Because the word of God says we are.
Yes.
And Jesus says, when you pray, say, our Father,
yes,
who art in heaven. So we were adopted into the covenant promises of God,
yes,
through the blood of the cross. And we can call him Abba, Father. Our Father is in heaven. And let me read it again. And the Gentiles, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercies, as it is written, for this cause, I will confess to thee among the Gentiles. It's written somewhere in the Bible, isn't it? It's written. Okay? I will confess to thee, that's his name, the name of the Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing unto thy name. among the Gentiles.
Yes.
And verse 10. And again, for emphasis, it goes back. And again, he said, rejoice, ye Gentiles. Do you see how important it is? That's the Lord speaking right here. He's telling you what to do. What's the duty of the Gentiles? The Gentiles' duty is to rejoice. Why are you rejoicing tonight? Because you were sometimes darkness. But now tonight you are light. You're a light set on a hill like a candle which cannot be hid. We are the lights of the world. And he said, again, he said, rejoice. Rejoice. I'm saying it tonight. Rejoice, you Gentiles. Amen? Don't just come begging, always asking for something. Always you want a car, you want a job, you want something. Yes, he does all of that. Yes. But do you know your Father cares for you?
Yes.
I mean, he feeds the sparrows. I mean, he knows you. He knows. Not one hair of your head can turn white without him knowing. He knows everything about you. So, he didn't create beggars. But he wants people of faith. People that trust the Lord. Trust in the Lord. With all your heart. I know that he's a great provider. And he will take care of you. So again, he said, rejoice, ye Gentiles. When you wake up in the night, what do you do? Just rejoice. Said, rejoice, ye Gentiles. With his people. With his people. So what are we doing tonight? The same message that came out of the upper room, the early church, among the Jews, among Israel, we are rejoicing. Like the Syrophoenician woman, yes, true Lord, but the Gentiles eat. The dogs eat the things that falls from the master's table. And what the Jews did not want, and it fell in the mouth and the hand of the Gentiles.
Yeah.
And tonight, we're glad to receive the meat from the table of the Lord. So we are rejoicing. And again, look how many again. So, in other words, when you praise him, then keep praising him again. And then you... When you're finished, start over praising him again. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles. And Lord, I like that word. What does that word mean? And praise, Lord, praise him, all ye people. And again, you think that way, repetition? But Lord, don't worry about that. He said, and again, Isaiah said, there shall be a root of Jesse. It's in the Bible, the prophet. And you can find that, right? There shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise, notice, rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. It's prophesied in Isaiah that Isaiah 11 verse. Let's put a hold right there and go there to Isaiah chapter 11, and then we'll come back here to Romans. Isaiah chapter 11, and look at verse 1. What does it say? And look at it. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. And we were reading in Revelation 11, verse 1, about the rod, the reed that was measure the temple. And that which was not measure, the outer court, would be left out to the Gentiles to trample on their feet. That's at the close of the, coming on to the close of the church age. So there comes forth a rod, and that's the same rod the Psalms say in Psalms 23, that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Said, there would come out of the root of a rod, out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Isaiah 61 tells us that. Spirit of the Lord was upon him. The Spirit of, notice, wisdom, understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. There they are. Would rest upon him. See? The Lamb with seven eyes or seven spirits. That's the Lamb of God. He had all of the fullness of the Spirit, and we are growing into it. And this is what the Spirit will do. And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But how will he judge? Because he's righteous. That's his nature. But with righteousness will he, or shall he, judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness, look at it. And what? And Hebrews 1 says, because thou hast loved righteousness and hate iniquity, therefore God, even thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellow. Said, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. He's righteous and he's faithful. He's a faithful witness. And the first begotten from the dead. He said, in his day, that's the advent, the second coming, when he established the kingdom, here's what's going to happen. And the wolf also, even the very nature of lions and wild beasts will be changed. Where they will not hurt or destroy anymore in his holy mountain. But here's the wolf. So we know what's ahead of us. And the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. And the leopard shall lie down with the kid. And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. That's kingdom order. We don't even have that in the church. Because sometimes brethren fight and quarrel and devour one another. Gossips and tear one another's reputation. Heat one another up like bread. Bite and devour one another. But in the kingdom, even the nature of the animals will be changed. What a hope, what a day. That's in the reign of Jesus Christ. And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the bullock. The nature of the lion will change. See, that is the order of the government of Christ. When Jesus Christ returned and reigned, things will be different. Now, look at what nation do to nations. Look at what just happened up in the state over from us a few weeks ago. I mean, hardly anywhere is safe. Many people would like to destroy you. There's a vicious spirit that's reigning in the world today. But when Jesus returns, all will be gone. They will not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. Even the cow and the bear will feed together. Their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the bullock. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp. That's a deadly viper. And the weaned child shall put his hands on the cockatrices, then they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. That word mountain is kingdom. For look what's going to happen. That this is what we're trying to get in the church, the knowledge of God. So the church will be filled with the knowledge of God. And look how hard it is. How hard it is for people to come to church, study, read their Bibles. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For, hallelujah. This is what we're waiting for. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord. How much? How deep? As the water covers the sea. And in that day, that's the day of the Lord, when Christ returned to reign, there shall be a root of Jesse. Well, that root already came. First Advent was born of a virgin. And he's growing up. And he's returning now to rule and sit and reign on the throne of his father David. But in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. What's that word ensign means? A banner or a flag. And you know what that banner will be? Love. He brought me into his banqueting house, and his banner over me is love. We salute to that. His banner over me. The church is a place of love. Where we love one another. We make changes. And we lose the wild beast nature. We lose that devouring nature where brethren dwell together. How pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse which shall stand for an ensign of the people. And it shall, and to it, notice, other line, that's what we're dealing with. And to him, and to it shall the Gentiles seek. And his rest shall be glorious. You find that rest. There remaineth a rest for the people of God. Labor to enter into this rest. And his rest shall be glorious. Praise God. And in that day, there shall be, next verse, and it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time, on a line, see that word second time, to recover the remnant of his people. Because, you notice the second time. Because at the first time when he came, he did not really recover them. And so they were scattered. And the gospel went to the Gentiles. But he's to return and rebuild the tabernacle of David, which is torn down. So the second time, the second coming, the second advent, he's going to stretch forth his hands again, the second time. The hand of God is Jesus. And he's going to spread it out, that government, reaching out for Israel to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from, they're still scattered. Bring them back from the ends of the earth, Assyria, and from Egypt, and Pathros, and Cush, and from Elam, and from Shinar, and from Amath, and from the islands, Philippines, over 7,000 islands, from the islands of the sea. Amen. And he shall set up an ensign for the nation. What will that be? See? What will that be? The love of God. The banner over me, over the nation, will be love. And shall assemble the outcasts of Israel. He's going to bring them back. And gather together the dispersed of Judah. From where? From where? So you begin to see the plan of God from the four corners of the earth. That's what God is going to do. He said it. That's the order of God. It's not just a fly away and by some river of milk and drinking honey and milk. I mean, come on. Jesus wouldn't die just for you to drink milk. Or give you a 3-bedroom mansion or something, honey and all that. No, but it's a government. It's an order that he's going to establish upon the earth where the lion will lay down with the lamb. And a little child shall lead them. It's a divine government. A government where there'll be peace. And they will not destroy or hurt in my holy mountain. And they will be praising God from the rising of the sun to the going down thereof. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations. And shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. So next verse says, and the envy also of Ephraim shall depart. Ephraim represented the 10 tribes and the adversity of Judah, which is Judah, Benjamin, 12 tribes there. 2 and 10 is 12. That's been scattered from right after the days of Solomon. The adversary of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah. And Judah shall not vex Ephraim. No. And when that happened, there'll be no more war in the church. I mean, come on. No more strife. Where you cannot sit beside that brother because you don't like him. All that will be done away with. You cannot shake the hand of that sister. And you give her a cross eye because you don't agree with her. No gossip. You will not find a backstabber. Or no one will be talking about one another behind their back. Because they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. But it will be the peace of God like a river. The peace of God that passeth all understanding. And another thing you'll not find in the kingdom is oversized tongues. Because there's something about the knowledge of God that will carve it out. And it will fit where you can be in the kingdom without hurting. So when you pray, you also ask God to shorten your tongues. They shall not hurt, but they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines towards the west. They shall spoil them of the east together. They shall lay their hands upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. He's showing you what's going to happen. Israel is here forever. They're not going anywhere. Somebody said them, they're going to wipe off Israel from the map and drive them back in the sea. No. Because he that watches over Israel shall never slumber nor sleep. And the Lord shall utterly, notice, this is powerful. And the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptians, sea, or people, that word sea, water, people. And with the mighty wind, with his mighty wind, shall he shake his hands over the river. What's the mighty wind of God? I hear a sound like the mighty rushing. That's the Holy Spirit. And he shall smite it in the seven streams. He shall smite it in the seven streams and make men go over on dry shod. Now, notice, the seven streams. That's the seven-headed beast stream. I saw a beast rise up with seven heads. He's going to destroy all the government of Satan. God's going to smite it and dry up the tongue of the Egyptian seas. Why? Because he's going to establish a pure language. He's going to establish a new tongue, new language. Yes. So he's going to dry that up.
Yes.
I mean, he's going to dry up a lot of things. The governments. You know, he won't need the governments of today. He has a new government. Because the government is on the shoulder of Jesus Christ. And he will establish the law of God. In so much that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the water cover the sea. Next verse. And notice, this is powerful. Notice, this is powerful. Because they came out, you remember when they came up out of Egypt? Through the wilderness, wandering through. But now, the second time, there will be an highway. Now, there's already, who's the highway? Jesus Christ is the highway that leads every nation out of sin. I mean, come out of rebellion or for the disease and lead them to Zion. I mean, that's the holy highway that leads us from destruction. When you want to come out of a life of sin, how do you get out? Through the holy highway. And there will be an highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the days that he came up out of the land of Egypt. God was leading them. Was there a highway? They saw the cloud by day and the fire by night. What was the angel of the Lord went before them? Come on. And smote the rock, gave them water, gave them the manna. Was there an highway? Well, there's another highway. And that's Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Woo. And it says there that verse, that's it. So go back in closing to Romans 15 to show you. So the Gentiles, it's not an accident that we love God and praising God at this time. He tells us the Gentiles would trust him and would praise him. And in Romans 15 and verse 12, we stopped off here when we went to Isaiah and we found it. And again, Isaiah said, 11, we read that. There shall be a root of Jesse. Did we find that root? What is his name? Jesus Christ is the root and the offspring. Romans tells you that also, 11, I think. And he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. So after a while, you find Jesus will be the king over all nations. The scripture said, he's the king of nations. Now, when? Now. You don't have to wait. You have a God of hope right now. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. See, when you begin to believe, or you have a joy and a peace, when you have doubt, you won't feel that joy. But the God of hope, that's his name, fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope. How do you do that? Through the power of the Holy Ghost. The power of the Holy Ghost is the Holy Ghost. It's a spirit. Through the power. If you ever let the Holy Ghost touch you, you'll never be the same. If you ever lift your hands and laud him and praise him and shout and just rejoice in the Lord, you'll never be the same. So it says, praise him, all ye people. Shout with the voice of triumph. Clap your hands. Make a joyful noise. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge. See what you have to do? Goodness, knowledge, able also to admonish, not jump all over them, point your finger in their face, as if you are the all authority. You got something to say, someone. Say it with the spirit of meekness. Don't just go jumping all over them, chewing them up, because they say something you didn't like. So you pull them off one side. And boy, when you finish with them, it feels like the judgment came. But you're not supposed to do that. You say, but they wronged me. Leave all judgment to God. He will recompense you. And somebody says something you don't understand, and you get all red, mad, you contradict them, you fire inside of you. You can't even wait. Your tongue is sharp. That's wildfire. You know wildfire does. Wildfire burns everything it shouldn't burn. But you know that touchy feelings, that touchy, somebody say, they must always say good things about you. Things you like and you smile. You'll never be saved. Because good words doesn't cut your tongue off. I mean that extra piece that's hanging out. It's got to be the sharp razor of the word of God. And a man of God gets there and cut it off quickly. Nevertheless, brethren, I have to read it again. I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God. Paul received a lot of grace to give to the Gentiles. That I should be the minister of God, of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. That was what he was. He did it. And we've been finding a lot about this over the past couple of months. Ministering the gospel of God. That's one of the work to the Gentiles. The gospel came in. The Gentiles came into the covenant through the gospel. That the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable. If the Gentile wasn't, and if there was not a church to instruct them, they would not know what to offer it and how to offer it up. You leave any country, any family, without a knowledge, nations without a knowledge of the word of God, you know what they do? They worship a piece of stone or wood. They worship the moon or the sun or the star. They're confused. They don't know who God is. Huh? They'll even tell you there's no God. How can any sane, sober, knowledgeable person live in a world like this and say there's no God when the heavens declare the glory of God? Come on. I mean, common sense tell you. And then yet, they said there's no God. So that's how blind you can be. And we sink in blindness and ignorance and we feel good. Because that's supposed to be smart. The dumber you are is the smarter you are. And you glory in ignorance. Oh, there's no God. But you're just breathing breath. And you look around and look at all of us. Different nationalities sometimes. But look at how we were wonderfully made. I don't care where you came from. Wonderfully made. Hallelujah. And I don't want to be you and you don't want to be me. And you get up every day and thank God that you're you, right? And I'm me. You know, I don't want to be you. You say, well, Pastor, I'm better looking than you are, but I'm smarter than you are, so I don't want to be you. Amen. I wake up every morning. I don't want to change to be nobody else. You say, but I'm taller than you are. Praise the Lord, I'm shorter. I get in my bed faster. That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Paul was sent to the Gentiles. Paul was sent to the Gentiles that they would offer up a pure offering. Before they were offering up to the unknown gods, ignorance. And Paul said, "Am I declared to you, whom you ignorantly worship?" Unless there's a church with the ministry, with the men of God, you will offer up all different stuff to God. That's not even right. Amen? But I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertaining to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ had not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedience. Do you see that obedience you have to do? How do you do that? By word and by deed. That's what we're here for. By word and by deed to make the Gentiles worthy or obedient, so their gifts will be accepted. The man of God ought to straighten them, ought to bring their sacrifice to the altar. The altar is Jesus Christ. Okay? Through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. Don't do that. You don't want to do that. You want to build upon the foundation of Christ, the apostles and prophets. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see. And they that have not heard shall understand. That's the Gentiles. That's you and I. Amen? Is that it? For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. There's always hindrance to stop the word of God. But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey to Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way to the wards by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. What a man that was. Do you see that love that was in his heart? To be with the saints? When he come, he said, "I'm going to bring you a gift." What was that? The word of God. The love of God. To make you better. How that your offering up will be accepted. To show them how to worship God in the spirit and in truth. All right, now I'm closing. And now I go on to Jerusalem to minister, all right, to the saints. Because